Hello and welcome to the IRPP's interview with the author series. My guest today is Craig Forsees, an associate professor at the University of Ottawa and the author of the IRPP study, Canada's National Security Complex, Assessing the Secrecy Rules. Welcome.
Hi, Kate.
In your study, you argue that Canada's secrecy laws go too far in their attempt to protect national security. How so?
Well, I guess there are two main objections. One is a structural objection and one is a practical objection. The structural objection is that our secrecy laws have evolved over a very long period of time, and there's a certain incoherence that has crept into them over the decades to the point where they're sometimes very difficult to reconcile. And so all sorts of holes exist in our secrecy laws and over all sorts of overbreadth. So that's the structural objection. The practical objection is that because in part of this failure of design, there are circumstances where the government is able to claim under the banner of national security secrets that really have, from an objective perspective, very little to do with national security and may actually have more to do with protecting the government of the day from embarrassment. And so laws that permit that sort of overclaiming are doubtful.
Can you give us an example of a type of national security secret, a legitimate secret?
Well, legitimate secrets, of course, range from the deployment of Canadian forces in Afghanistan on a given day. These are the sort of things that, if revealed openly, might actually lead to a serious injury to Canadian forces deployed in Afghanistan, or the confidential informants of our security intelligence services, or perhaps even their methodology in terms of extracting intelligence or their capacity to engage in electronic eavesdropping. Now, these are all secrets that the governments have a strong interest in preserving from open discussion.
So you do acknowledge that it is necessary to protect some security laws.
Absolutely. There is room for secrecy. The secrecy, though, however, has to be measured and it has to be palatable in a democratic society. And the risk, of course, is that to the extent that other justifications animate secrecy, the need, for example, the government feels to harbor from the public information that might actually be embarrassing to the government, to the extent that that ultimately becomes public knowledge, and we have had circumstances in the past where embarrassing information has ultimately been released, the credibility of the entire secrecy apparatus, the credibility of the security services, and of the government is impaired, so that subsequently it may actually be more difficult for them to keep secret legitimate information that really should not be shared with the public.
So in a certain sense, these laws can undermine the credibility of our security services.
You could end up with a scenario of wolf being cried repeatedly, yes.
Mm. So which laws do you consider legitimate and which laws do you believe overreach?
Well, I think the most nuanced law is the Access to Information Law, which dates from the early 1980s. Now, of course, Access to Information and the law that guarantees it is about actually ensuring that information flows from government to the public. But there's recognition in that law that not in every circumstance should information be shared with the requester. And so there are some relatively nuanced, albeit quite far-reaching, exceptions to access. And those are well-crafted in the sense that while there is some inherent ambiguity, that at least there's an effort to define some of these terms. And so at least on its face, the access law, for the most part, is a good and nuanced law. More recent laws that have grafted more secrecy protection onto our legal system are less nuanced. And so an example is changes to what's known as the Canada Evidence Act, which allows the government to preserve secrets in court proceedings and to deny their disclosure in those court proceedings. It can also be used, incidentally, to stop any proceedings under the Access to Information Act. And the terms used to justify secrecy in that context are not well defined, and therefore there's a substantial amount of discretion in the hands of the government in terms of how it defines concepts like national security, a notoriously difficult concept to define. Even more notoriously, we have a very old law, what once known as the Official Secrets Act, renamed the Security of Information Act in 2001, which has in one of its provisions an extremely sweeping prohibition, a criminal prohibition on what's known as leakage of not just secret information, but anything that's official written information, can be penalized under this criminal provision in the old Official Secrets Act. It's so broad, it was drafted in the 1930s, and it's so broad that really the conventional sorts of leaks you see in newspapers every day could probably be captured by this law. In 2006, an Ontario court declared this particular provision unconstitutional, but it remains on the books, and that 2006 decision from the Ontario Superior Court isn't necessarily binding on any other court in the land. And so there's some good reason for the legislature to act and amend this provision, remove it from the legislative books, and concoct something that's a lot more measured, that accomplishes some of the legitimate concerns about disclosure and leakage, but without being so overbroad in the sort of draconian way that this current provision is.
That's Section 4 of the Security of
Correct.
Information Act, isn't it? Okay. So you do, in your study, you do recommend, you call on Parliament to replace it with a more measured provision. What are the other kinds of recommendations that you make?
Well, one of the concerns I have about the way that our secrecy laws evolved is that we've got a proliferation of terms, many of which are inherently ambiguous. So at various points in our statute book, when it comes to justifying secrecy, there's references to protecting Canada's national security, or preserving Canada from a danger to its security, or references to preserving international relations, or a number of other terms, all of which, or most of which at least, are undefined, and can be used in different ways in different contexts. And so one of the things I propose is a consolidation, a shared understanding of what it means to preserve a secret on national security grounds. And I think it's possible to redraft in a fairly nuanced manner that concept and accomplish that objective. Other recommendations I make is, frankly, a greater role for parliamentarians in understanding both national security and the secrecy that surrounds it. Our parliamentarians tend to be is far removed from these matters, as is the general public, and not necessarily much better informed. Part of that reflects the turnover we've been seeing in the House of Commons, where parliamentarians aren't around long enough between elections to actually gain any particular expertise. Part of that is the culture of secrecy itself. The executive branch isn't particularly forthcoming with parliamentarians either. And so I renew a call that I've made in the past for a special committee of parliamentarians that would have greater access to secret information, and therefore a greater involvement in actually assessing what our security services are doing, as the Australians and the British have done.
So it becomes a kind of a balancing act between maintaining the openness required for a functioning democracy and upholding these legitimate national security secrecy laws.
Absolutely. It is a tension. There is a tension, and the question is whether we've arrived at that soft spot where we've managed to balance successfully a national security secrecy against the needs for an open court system and an open executive branch. I'm not sure that we're there yet. There certainly have been a number of revelations coming out of these official inquiries, like the Arar matter and various court cases, that suggest that there is substantial overclaiming by government on national security grounds, and when independent courts have been asked to assess whether they believe that national security is imperiled by some of these things the government wishes to resist disclosing, they've expressed some skepticism, and that probably is just the tip of the iceberg. And so I think there's substantial room for improvement in Canada in casting that balance between secrecy and the need for an open society.
Thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Kate.
Craig Forsees is an associate professor at the University of Ottawa and the author of the IRPP study, Canada's National Security Complex, Assessing the Secrecy Rules. His study can be downloaded free of charge from our website, www.irpp.org.